And when they were come to the multitude, they came to him a certain man kneeling down. Dr. Williams talked about different positions of prayer. Standing, kneeling, and prostrate when you lay flat on your face. Boy, I got some, in the future, I got some messages on prayer for us. And saying, Lord, have mercy on. This man came and he kneeled down to Jesus saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. Now, you know his son's a teenager because look what it says. He's a lunatic. So we know he had to be a teenager. Close to it. And sore vexed. And oftentimes he falleth in the fire and often in the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. They could not cure him. I tell you, you got to have someone special to cure the teenagers. Amen. God bless us. I love you, kids. Jesus answered, said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. There is curing power through Christ. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. Why could not we cast him out? Verse 20. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed. You might want to put there Matthew 13, 31 and 32. Jesus said the grain of a mustard seed is the smallest seed of all seeds. But yet, when it grows, it becomes the greatest of all the herbs. If you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say in this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart. First of all, I want to thank you for Dr. Gibbs. God bless him and his wife and his family. Thank you for all the years of service they've done for the churches to help represent churches in courts against litigations. Thank you for giving Dr. Gibbs this great truth. And Lord, putting it that we can have it. And Lord, help me now to be a blessing to the people, please. God, please help me to be a blessing today. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. God's word says, we can do the impossible. He said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. How many believe God's word? Don't strive to do great things for God. Anybody can do that. Do something impossible for God. Do the impossible. Today we need to challenge our people not to attempt great things for God. We need to challenge our teenagers not to attempt to do great things for God, but to do the impossible. Lighthouse Baptist Church. People told me it was impossible. They said, that's impossible to build a church down there. But God can do the impossible. God enjoys doing the impossible. Amen? And Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God, Matthew 19:26, but with God all things are possible. How many things are possible with God? All things. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31 through 34, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, Mary, You're gonna have the Son of God. You're gonna have a child. It's gonna be the Son of God. The Holy Ghost is gonna come upon you, and you're gonna birth the Son of God. She says around verse 32, 33. So how can this be possible? I've never known a man. How can I have a baby? I've never had sex with anybody. Are you with me? And he said, and then he answered in verse 37. Gabriel, the angel said, for with God, Mary, nothing shall be impossible. I prayed over that little girl last night. I laid my hands on her and I prayed, God, bring her back. And when I prayed, I really believe he could, although he didn't do it, Eddie, I believed he could. Because, Tommy, I believe God can do the impossible. They all came and they told us all the brains are all dead, everything's gone. And I went in there and laid over and put my hands on it and said, oh God. And Eddie, it didn't happen, but I'll tell you, I still believe God can do it. It wasn't that God couldn't do it. And I believed he could. I said, God, I got... And he knew it. One thing, God does do things for me because I really believe God can do things. He doesn't do them every time because it's got to be in his perfect will. Mac, I don't understand it, Mary, why he had to take our baby. But I have to trust. I have to trust God's providence and knowing that she's better with him right now. But when I prayed over last night, I literally asked God, and I was believing. Matter of fact, I kept waiting for her to open her eyes. Because that's how much I believe God can do. See, God can do the impossible. I wouldn't have got Christians believe their God was big enough to do the impossible. Listen, God enjoys doing the impossible. There's nothing impossible for God. Look with me. There's no relationship that has ever been broken up that God cannot put back. There's a lot of families today, their marriages are broken up and the relationships are broken up. I'm going to tell you, there's no relationship. There's nothing impossible that God can't put back. There's no financial problems that God can't solve for you. There's no person, no people, no one out of the reach of God doing something in their life. No one. Because with God, nothing's impossible. Dr. Gibbs gave a couple of illustrations that were just phenomenal about them, God doing the impossible. He mentioned missionary Margaret Stringer. By the way, they flew her in. She's around, I'm guessing, probably around 65 to 70 years old. When she was a real young lady, she went to Tennessee Temple with Dr. Lee Robinson was there. And she graduated from that college, a Baptist college down in Tennessee. He had, on the big screen, he had a little thing pre-taped. Dr. Lee Robinson's 95 years old now, 96 but he had Dr. Robinson, actually, they asked him questions about her, and Dr. Robinson reached back and actually remembered her. Mostly what he remembered is she had always had a smile on her face. She had a big smile. And when she was up on that platform, she had a huge smile. But she never got married, but she knew God wanted to use her life. And there was a place, I didn't catch the location. I know it was Africa, if I remember right. But there was these tribal people in Africa, we call them cannibals, that they killed people and they ate them. And everybody that went in there died. They killed every person. They said they got so good at killing people that when the helicopters came, they threw things up and got in the props and knocked the helicopters down and got the pilots and ate them too. So everybody was terrified and nobody would go in this place because no one ever came out. And God got a hold of Margaret Stringer's heart and she said, God wants me to go there. I know I can reach those people. And they said, you can't, ma'am. Even man can't. No, there's no way. They'll kill you. They'll take you in the hut and they'll kill you. And then they'll eat you. No one had ever survived. No one. But Margaret Stringer said, I'm going to do the impossible for God. I know that's what God wants me to do. So I don't care what happens, I'm going there. They got her in, they dropped her and left. And just like they said, they grabbed her and they took her to that hut. The only thing is, they didn't eat her. They said, tell us about what you came here for. And she told them about Christ. And she led the whole tribe to God. Then they said, down the river, there's people more wicked than us. They eat us. Now, I mean, she just won this tribe that killed people and ate people. And now this tribe that got saved, they said, well, there's another one. They kill us. In other words, they're even a bigger junkyard dog than we are. They're more ferocious. They're more fierce. They're more evil and violent than we are. She said, take me there. They said, no. She said, no, I got to go. Long story short, she went there and won all those people to Christ. They honored her. They brought her in. She never got married. She's all by herself. No children. And no doubt, senior citizen. They didn't say, oh, she looked to me like 65, 70 years. Well, she went to school years ago when Lee Robinson was down her teeth. And so Lee Robinson's 95 and or so. And they honored her. And then Jack Scott did something I thought was very sweet and good. The church took her out for financial support, monthly support. First Baptist Church is supporting her now monthly to give her some income. He said, how many preachers would help this dear lady till she dies? And I stood up, of course. And so Bethel, by the way, you have another new missionary, Margaret Stringer. We're supporting her at $25 a month. And she's well worth $25 a month. And he gave her a check, Arlene, to take a vacation. You'll never dream where she said she was going. She says, I think I'll go back to the field. Here a lady was around 70 years old or so. Not a good judge of age, but she was definitely a senior citizen. And going back, doing the impossible. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. You can do the impossible for God. I don't care if you're a boy or a girl, man or lady. You can do the impossible for God. Margaret Stringer did it. Can anyone say amen? Then he gave another illustration. And I don't tell these near like him. Boy, if we can ever get him, Bobby, I'm going to have Dr. Gibbs. I'm going to beg him to preach this message here. But he flies. Dr. Gibbs goes all over America representing preachers in court when they get lawsuits against them. And the way I got thinking about this that he didn't say, but for them to be on that road at 3 o'clock in the morning, he must have flew in late that night because they were going back to the church. He must have picked. Anyways, he talks about with this preacher. I think they're in the South. And he said they're driving down a road. It's real late at night. They're talking. And then all of a sudden they just run out of things to talk. So he said it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And then this preacher said something to him. He said, Dr. Gibbs, I've asked God to do the impossible. I'm asking God to do the impossible for me. He said, oh, what is that? He said, and I think, did he say seven, Eddie? 7 years? Do you remember? I believe he said 7 years ago, this preacher said this to Dr. Gibbs. He said, 7 years ago, I asked God to let me win a person to Christ every day of my life. And he said, I mean, really win them. He said, I'm not just saying Dr. Gibbs, not just saying a prayer, but I asked God to let me win someone to Christ every day, and I made sure they were saved and showed them the scripture and showed they were secure. He said, when I walked away, I had a good feeling that I knew that they really trusted Christ. And he said, and I told God I wouldn't count the ones that got saved in the church on Sunday. And he said, God, even though I might win two or three in one day, I won't add them up for storage. In other words, if you got three that day, great. But every day, he had to win someone new to Christ. And he said, for 7 years, not one day has passed that I've not led someone to Jesus Christ. God has put someone in my path for 7 years, every day of my life. I've trusted God for the impossible. And he said, matter of fact, he said, the Lord put in my heart, there's a, down here just a little ways farther in this road, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, by the way, he said, there's a gas station that has refreshments in it. Do you remember, it was one of the sheets, but gas mart, something like a gas mart. And he said, I want you to pull in there, you can get a car, because Dr. Gibbs wants something to eat and drink. He's, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he's still up doing something with preachers. And so, he said, pull in there. He said, and I believe also that God's got someone appointed for me to meet. Well, they pull this gas town at 3 o'clock in the morning. And David gives is getting something there. He's getting some coffee and stuff like that. And the next, and I guess this man was a real tall, big man, had a deep voice. And next thing he heard is this preacher says to the cashier, and by the way, there's nobody there, just them and the cashier. And he said, "You have an appointed day with God. You need to be saved. Or you better make sure you're saved." And the cashier lady started to rejoice and praise God, praise God. She pulled out underneath the counter a Bible. She said, "For years," she said, "I'm saved, preacher, I'm saved. But for years, I've wanted someone to witness to me, and no one's ever witnessed. I've even kept my Bible to tell people about Christ." And they were just going on and on. And all of a sudden, David Gibbs didn't even know it. Some other lady had walked in behind them that they didn't know. And she was right behind David Gibbs. And she said, "I need to be saved. I'm the one that God's got that appointed day for." And David Gibbs, he thought it was a ghost. He said, "I didn't even know she was there." And so the preacher turned, he says, "Are you the one that God says got the appointed day?" She said, "Yes." He said, "My mother died just a few days ago. And she begged me to be saved. And I've been thinking about it ever since. She kept telling me she died. And I kept telling her, no. And she died just a couple days ago with me telling her no. It's just, it's been on my mind. And now when I heard you, when you said to that lady, there's an appointed day," she said, "Preacher, it's not for that lady there. It's for me." He said, "Get down on your knees. We're going to ask God to save you right now." And so they're on their knees, Marty, praying. In comes two truck drivers. 3 o'clock in the morning. There's people down. And Gibbs is there. And Gibbs is a real huge man, big man. They said, the two truck drivers, "Is this a robbery?" And David Gibbs says, no, it's not. No, we're preachers. They're just getting saved." One of the truck drivers started to cry. He said, "Did you know we go down this road every night? We've been going down this road for years. I've never stopped here." But he said, "Tonight, people were scared. They're on the CB, were scaring me about death. And so I told my buddy, I'm going to pull in this gas town just to get a coffee, just to try to get calmed down. I turned the CB off. I walk in. Now you're telling me about dying and being just standing before God." He said, "I want to be saved too." He gets down with the preacher and the lady. And the other truck driver says, "I'm saved, but I've been running from God." He gets down. "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, bring me back to where I used to be." They got revival with gas town at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because one man dared to do the impossible for God. You see, it would have been me going in for coffee. I probably would have grabbed the coffee and the donut and said, "Thank you." Gave her a track and walked out. You see, it's people that dare to do the impossible. The impossible can be done if we'll just dare for God to do it. Can anyone say amen? I'm going to tell you. The teller got excited. Everybody got excited. The lawyer got excited. And they had a revival there in the gas town at 3 o'clock in the morning. All because one preacher 7 years ago said, "God, I want to do the impossible. I want to win one person every day of my life." See, a lot of us don't, I've done that. I don't believe we can do it. See, you got to believe that. See, we could do the impossible. We just don't believe we can. You know, we need some Christians today to say to God, God, I'll do something impossible. We need some preachers all over America saying, I'll do something impossible. We need some deacons saying, I'll do something that's impossible. We need some youth pastors saying, I'll do something. I'm going to build the largest youth department in all the state of Ohio. And then I want you to build the largest one in the whole world. You say, oh, he can't do it. Oh, yes, he can. He can do the impossible. That night, Bobby, I ran down that altar and I said, God, help me to do the impossible. By the way, I'm glad, I love what Dr. Gibbs said. You can have more than one impossible. You can keep doing the impossible over and over and over. It all depends how much you want it, how bad you want it. Amen? You know, we need some Sunday school teachers that say, God, I'm going to double my class. I'm going to do the impossible. We need some young couples and some teenagers that say, I'm going to do the impossible for you. We need some bus workers that say, oh, God, my bus route's not been going like it should. I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to do the impossible. Why don't you say, God, I'm going to do the impossible and fill this bus up every Sunday. By the way, bus ministry is one of the hardest ministries to work. You got to be really called and really have a heart to do the bus ministry. I remember years ago when I was in the bus ministry, God put me in the bus ministry with children. I told Dave Luther, I said, I surrendered my life. I said, now, I'm great with adults. I'm great with teenagers. Just don't put me with kids. I should have never said that, Mrs. Mertz. Next thing I knew, I was surrendered for the bus ministry. Super church. Puppet ministry. You name it. Headed up 350 kids in super church. Remember, he put me with a great guy. Great Christian man on the buses, Bud Skiles. And I remember my first day there, Andy. I walked in that bus, and I know they're called seats, but I always called them chairs. And I said, Bud, David Richard knows this to be true, and so does Tammy Lynn. I said, Bud, every time we run this bus for God, every one of them chairs are going to be filled. I don't think my bus ever ran lower than 65. Mostly it ran 70s and 80s. So I was in the 100 Club for 2 years because I purposed in my heart that every day I took that bus out, Bobby, that it would be filled the next day no matter what, no matter what I had to do. I'd spend 6 and 8 hours a day on the bus routes on Saturday. But there was never a day. There was never a Sunday that bus was not filled. Most of the time they were standing. But there was never a day, I don't ever remember a day when every seat was not filled, 2 and 3 abreast. It all depends on what you want to do for God. It's how much we want to give God of our life. We're too busy, aren't we? It all depends on how much you care about those little kids dying and going to hell. We need some teenagers to say, I'm going to do the impossible for God. I'm going to win my whole class. I'm going to win my whole class at school to Christ. We need some young couples to say, I'm going to win some of our best friends for Christ. We need some singles to say, I'm going to go out there and do some great impossible things for God, even though I am a single. We need some senior citizens to say, I'm going to go out and do the impossible. Tommy and Annie, I want you to do the impossible on the ABL. Someday I want you to run 500 in the ABL. I'm hoping to have that building built by November in the future. I'm hoping to have a building so you can put 350 people in it. Because I'm going to have a big place someday where we can put a bunch of seniors. Amen. Listen, America needs to see someone do something that for which God can do the impossible in our life. They need to see that. Look up here, Christians. God can do the impossible. He wants people to do the impossible. He's waiting to work through somebody to do the impossible. He just needs some people to say, God, I'll do it. I'll do the impossible. I'll do it. I'll do it. God, help me do the impossible for you. Look at me in the scripture. Peter did the impossible. He attempted the impossible. Look at Matthew 14. I'm going to give you four things real quick. I'm just going to read them to you. Remember when Peter walked on the water? Look at Matthew 14, 22. Straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship. Are you with me in Matthew 14, 22? And he went to the other side. See, God don't want us to stay here. He wants us to keep going. Matt, he wants us to always go to the other side. Jackie, he doesn't want us to stay in one place. He wants us to keep going to the other side to reach more people, more people. Listen, we should never be content just to fill this building up. We should never be content with just these people to be saved. We should always want more people to be saved, more families to be reached, more people to know about Christ. Look at verse 23. And when he sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. That's why we don't see things. We don't pray enough. I don't pray enough. And when the evening was coming, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of a sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I like what the lawyer said about that. Tommy said that wind contrary meant the wind was coming in all directions. And that wind was coming from all directions. In the fourth watch, that's 3 o'clock a.m., 3 o'clock in the morning. The fourth watch is 3 a.m. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Woo! We got a great Savior who can walk on the water. Did you know you could too? And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. By the way, you'd be troubled too if you saw that. We're not that spiritual. Hello. Saying it's a spirit. We'd say, oh man, is that a ghost out there? Yeah, I got thinking about that too, Eddie, with all that wind and all that waves. He had to be pretty close. He had to be fairly close to that ship for them to see him. Are you with me? Because of the waves, he had to be very close to the ship. Watch. Aren't you glad he's always close by us in the middle? See, in the midst of the storm, Jack, the Lord was really close by. When you're going through a storm, you might not know it. You might not see him right away, but he's there. He's close by in the storm. Notice. But straightway Jesus spake, be of good cheer. It's I. Be not afraid. Hallelujah. God don't want us to be afraid. Fear is torment. 1 John 3 says, if you've got fear, your love is not perfected in you. The love of God. Look at verse 28, number one. I'm going to give you four things. Here they are. Here's number one. Verse 28. To do the impossible, you must first ask. Look at Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. Boy, I love that word, come. I put that on the billboard. And within a few weeks, we'll be having a billboard up. And it's going to talk about coming to be part of our church. And I told Eddie, I love that word, come. It's the most greatest word in the Bible, I think. It's an invitation for lost, fallen man to come to a holy God. Amen? Come. Come to thee under the water. He said, look what he said. Peter said, bid me. Lord, bid me. Come. In other words, what did he say? He asked. He said, Lord, can I come? Lord, I see you in the water. Can I come? Can I come out to you? In other words, can I do the impossible? God, I see you doing the impossible. Can I come out and do the impossible? Number one, you'll never do the impossible unless you ask God first. James 4:2, we have not because we So, number one, to do the impossible, number one, you need to ask. God, help me do the impossible. Can anyone say amen? We need to start, listen, we need to start asking God to help us do the impossible here at Bethel Baptist Church. We need to start, listen, I want to get out there in that new land. I want to put some buildings up. I want to do some, we need, you say, that's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. We need to start praying, God, help us at Bethel to do the impossible. God, help us to do the impossible for our Christian school. God, help us to do the impossible for our... Some of your marriages are really hurt today. Some of you got some real rocky marriages. We need to get your marriages back onto solid ground. We need to do... You say it's impossible. Nothing's impossible. God can put your marriages back on solid ground. Church is only strong as the marriages. Our homes are vital to the work of God. We need to start working on the impossibles. Number two, not only do we have to do the impossible, we must first ask. Peter's downfall, verse 30, was he put his eyes on the conditions of the around him. Number two, to do the impossible, you have to get your eyes off the conditions around you. Look at verse 30. When Peter saw the wind and boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He didn't sink while he just put his eyes on Jesus. Look up here. I'm going to give you a great truth. If you're going to do the impossible, the conditions around you doesn't matter. Because the conditions have no effect on the impossible. I like what the lawyer said. Most of us, Jackie, most of us would have said, okay, Lord, I want to walk to you, but before I walk, would you calm the water? Would you make the water like glass and stop the wind? Stan, let's say he did calm the water and make the wind stop, and it was just like glass. The impossible still had to be done, Andy. He still had to walk on water. I mean, what's the difference if the water's washing, or it's clear as glass? You still, it's an impossible thing to walk on water. So the conditions around him had no effect because the conditions don't affect the impossible. You see, a lot of times we stop doing things because we see all the things around us. We look at the conditions, we look at the situation, we say, oh, there's no, that's impossible. Look what we're facing. When you step out and do the impossible, you erase all the conditions around you because they have no effect on the impossible. The fact of the matter is, Peter still had to walk on the water. And that was the impossible feat. The wind and the waves had nothing to do with it. Are you with me? And so, number two, to do the impossible, you have to get your eyes off the conditions around you. How many people started to do things in their life, started to do some impossible things for God, and then as they were doing them, they got looking around, oh man, the money's not here, something's not here, we're not going to make it. And they forgot how they were going to make it in the first place. It was God that was going to do it anyways. Don't let the conditions dictate to you. Because the conditions don't make it. Don't do the impossible. It's God that does the impossible. The conditions around you have no effect. How many see what I'm saying to you? Number three, to do something impossible, you have to give up your backup plans.
I love that.
Backup plans are for people who plan to fail. Listen, when you know for sure God wants you to do something, go do it. You read that. Go do it. I was down there praying, and God said, get up and go tell Eddie you love him and tell him not to be afraid he's going into ministry. And I was like, I love you, Eddie. God just told me to tell you you're going into ministry. He said, I know, preacher. Let's go to the altar and pray. I said, don't worry about money. Don't worry about nothing. Just trust God. You're going to walk on the water for God. Just trust God. Are you with me? See, God would never ask you to do something He could not finish or perform. Backup plans says, God, I'm not trusting you. They say to God, I don't have faith. You can do the impossible. I'm not talking about when you're doing the impossible. I'm not talking about when you're building. I'm talking about if God tells you to do something impossible, if you got to trust God 100% for the impossible. If you're trusting the elements around you, then you've lost what God's put in your heart. How many are with me? Because without faith, it's impossible to believe God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe and He's rewarded them diligently seek Him. You can't please God without faith. Number four. And this is the last one. To do the impossible, you must step out of the boat. To do the impossible, you must step out of the boat. For the impossible to come true, you must take the step of faith. You know, I love what David Gibbs said. See, we want the God of the impossible before we face the impossible. Well, I want you to do it for me before I even do it. God, I want the God of impossible before I even attempt to do it. No, that doesn't work that way. You step out in faith, then you'll see the God of the impossible. Can anyone say amen? Doing the impossible is frightening. It is frightening doing the impossible. By the way, most people will tell you it's never the right time to do the impossible. It's just not the right timing right now. Preacher, I know what you're saying, preacher, but it's just not the right time. Things just aren't right now. Preacher, I think we better hold off. Or I'd like to do it, but I'd like to tithe, but right now it's just not the right time. Or I'd like to work in this bus ministry, but it's just not the right time. Did you know the right time will never come? That's why people never do the impossible, because it's always the wrong time. I'm going to tell you something. It's always the right time when God's in it. Don't wait for some person to tell you it's the right time to do the impossible, because they never will. You have to want the impossible. You have to ask for the impossible. You have to step out by faith to do the impossible and say, God, here am I. I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to tell you. On March 22nd, 2006, at pastor school, your preacher got down on his knees in the middle of the aisle, made an altar, and I said, Oh God, I don't know what it is, but I'll do the impossible. God, let me do the impossible. God, I believe you can do it. Let me do the impossible for you. Amen. I've come back to Bethel Baptist Church telling you, watch out. Watch out. As I've come back to do the impossible. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart you would see, that these people would see the truth. That God's looking for some people. He's looking for a church to do the impossible. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, what could you do today? What could you do today? What would God want you to do for the impossible for Him? Is there something you could do that's impossible that God would put in your heart? Could you think of something right now? Could you think of something right now that God might stir your heart to say, I want to do the impossible for you, God? Maybe God's been speaking to you about something. You say, but today God spoke. You say, God, you're right. I can do it. I'm going to do the impossible. How many say with an uplifted hand, preacher, there is something that God's put in my heart. I want to do the impossible for God. Yes. 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 God bless you. Why don't you come down right now and pray and say, God, help me to do that. Come right now. Come right now. That's right. Say, God, help me do the impossible. See, you won't ever do the impossible until you first ask. That's right. You just come. Say, God, help me do the impossible. What's that impossible thing you want God to do for you? You just come. Ask God. Say, God, I'm going to do the impossible. And I'm going to ask you, God, right now. I'm going to ask you. See, you got to believe that He can do it. I've seen Him do it. I've seen Him do the impossible. I've seen God do the impossible. I've watched God do the impossible. I know God can do the impossible. It doesn't surprise me when He does it. I've seen Him do it. He loves doing the impossible. You teenagers, God bless you. Some of you teenagers, why don't you say, God, I'm gonna make my life count for you. God, I'm going to make my life count for you. I'm going to do an impossible thing for you. People said they can't be done. They might criticize you, but you say, forget you. I'm going to do it for God. I'm going to do the impossible for God. You're here today, say, preacher, I've never been saved. Pray for me. Anyone like that today? You have an appointment with God. Is there anyone like that today? Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Oh, we have a great God. There's nothing impossible for God. That's why He opened the Red Sea and then Israel walked on dry ground. That's why He fed the 5,000 with two loaves of bread and five loaves of bread and two small fish. That's why he had a virgin birth with Mary. God can do the impossible. You see, God wants... Oh, He couldn't use me. Oh, yes, He can. He can use you. He can use you. He can do the impossible with you. Oh, you know, He can do it with you, preacher. You're a preacher. No, He can do it with you. God's no respecter of people. Doesn't matter who you are. God can do it. What do you want? See, the thing is, do you want God to do anything with you? That's the key. Maybe you'd like to join the church. You come. Maybe you need to get baptized. You come. Maybe you just want to come and pray about something. You come. What's ever in your heart, you come. If you're listening by way of internet, what's the impossible thing that God could speak to you about today? Why don't you, right where you're at, bow your head and say, God, help me to do the impossible. Maybe God's put something in your heart while I was preaching. Maybe God would have you, right where you're at, say, God, I'm going to do it right now. Why don't you ask Him? You got to ask before the impossible ever happened. You can't let the things, the conditions around you stop you. You don't need a backup plan. And you got to step out of the boat. To walk on the water, you got to step on the boat. To do the impossible, you got to step out in faith, trusting God. Let's stand. We're going to sing one verse. One verse. If no one comes, we're going to close. What page are you on, Davey? 375. If you'd like to come, you come right now. Come now in this very verse. If God's speaking to your heart. You come. You come. You come. Go pray with me. Go pray with me. Come. Keep singing. Keep singing. You know, let me say something. It's I think it's, I don't have my, it looks like about 7 after 12. And you know what? Jesus is still coming back. By the way, I haven't ate for almost 24 hours. So I got to be more hungry than any of you guys. And I got a lot more to fill up. How about some of your marriages? Where's your marriages at? Husbands, how you been doing with your wife? Wife, how you been treating that husband? Boy, we need to get our marriages back. We need to get our marriages back. Christian homes are being destroyed all over America. You say, oh, there's nothing you can put mine together. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing impossible with God. Why don't you be seated? Keep playing. People are praying. I want you to be in prayer for Carl and Mary McDaniel. That's their little grandbaby that went to be with Jesus today. Yes. 10:30. They pronounced her dead at 10:30 this morning. So the family will be hurting. You pray for that Walker family. And when I know more, I'll let you know. We'll make phone calls this week, letting you know. Madison Walker is the little girl's name. She's not quite 4 years old. I think she'd been four in about a week or two. She'd be 4 years old. Pretty close to Rebecca. And I'm glad she walked down there and Jesus grabbed her and took her home with him. One day we'll see him. Who's on the phone?
Hello. This is Bethel Baptist Church.
Stan, would you come? Stanley?
Thank you for calling.
Would you come?
I'm sorry at this time. No one's in the office.
He got baptized a few weeks ago.
Please leave your name and phone number.
And I'm the only thing I'm crying, Stan. Preacher preached real long that day. I can't remember what I preached on, but it was great whenever I preached. I was really excited. But let me put this, it was real long whenever it was. And it was so long. And Stan followed believers. They joined the church. We're so thankful they're part of our church. Amen?
Amen.
I want you and your wife, Stan, everyone, Stan. And after we get them praying, I want us to welcome them into our membership.
Amen.
I wasn't here last time the preacher was sick. And so I didn't get a chance to do this, but I want to do it today. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'm very glad they're part of Bethel. Say amen.
Amen.
Stan the man. That's how I remember you. Stan the man. He's a real man, too. He drives a big Chevy truck, too. Amen? And so he knows. He knows what God wants. He drives with God. He's got a Chevy. Let's stand for prayer. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. That great missionary, Edgar Langton from Cambodia, he will bless your heart. Trust me. Eddie, Mike, would you leave some prayer with Eddie?
Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for this morning you've given us. Lord, I do pray for the Walker family. I pray, Lord, that you comfort them. Father, I just ask you to give us a blessing today, Lord. Thank you for the message that you've heard. Lord, if you go out and do the impossible for you, we see things come about. And Lord, I just ask you to bring us back again to